Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Graham Street. And Brian in the khaki shorts. Your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you'd want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, I'm joined by the mastermind behind Mario Maya, Nay Tan.
You know, I like the idea that behind every meter and every thread count, there is a story to tell and there is, you know, a history behind it. It's artisanal and I like that.
After that, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, preps us for the festive season with a luxurious, leg-lengthening shoe trend, satin heels.
But these days, they're not just reserved for just weddings and dinners anymore. I mean, it's shedding its, you know, stuffy connotations, and designers are taking it into, you know, daylight territory.
But first up is our style maker for this week, Nay Tan of Mari Maya. Started off her label, Mari Maya, in December 2016 with an aim to design for the modern working women on the go. After completing her studies in London, she got a start in her career working in PR and was then presented with an opportunity to work in the retail industry as a brand manager prior to starting her own label. Inspired by her travels and the women she meets along the way, the brand focuses on creating feminine silhouettes and paired with artisanal handcrafted elements to form a cohesive wearable collection that is effortlessly timeless. With craftsmanship as the main focus, her designs emphasizes on eye-catching prints and woven fabrics, which has become the brand's core DNA. I caught up with May recently, and originally starting off as an online brand, the brand direction has then progressed to a brick-and-mortar business model due to increasing demand from customers. Now, you started Mari Maya first as an online business, and then you're also available in the Gardens Mid Valley at the studio, which is a multi-label store, right? Yeah. Now, what's the reception been like, you know, since you opened up your little pop-up there?
Been very good, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, it being on the sixth floor, you mm-hmm. know, is a place that, you know, if you know, you will find it and you will go. You know, it's more of a destination shopping place rather than, you know, a place that you walk past and, you know, you're curious and you go in, you mm-hmm. know. But since I've opened there, you know, I've gotten a lot of new customers, you know, through word of mouth and people just, you know, my customers telling other people, telling their friends, telling their family, then they come. You know, so it's really picked up since I've opened the place in Gardens, and I'm really thankful for you know, this opportunity, because it all happened by chance. And actually, a lot of things for me is kind of like being at the right place at the right time as well, you know. So the owner of this boutique in Gardens, mm-hmm. She happens to be one of my online customers.
Right.
And she bought a couple of stuff and she liked it. And she said, you know, why don't you come into the studio? And I checked out the place and I really liked it. So, you know, that happened for me, yeah.
Why did you choose a little pop-up store, you know, instead of, like, you know, starting up a standalone store?
Actually, for me, you know, this pop-up is quite a long pop-up. It's a six-month period pop-up. So,
okay.
You know, it's quite a long one. But for me, it's a way for us to test if, you know, having a standalone store would work, or physical brick-and-mortar store will work. Because I've started it off as an online brand because I wanted to keep overheads very low so that, you know, I can charge my customers, you know, affordably, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, adding in all these costs.
Correct. Here.
So the fact that I already produce a lot of my items locally, the cost is very high. So, you know, if I add in all these other overhead costs, it's going to, you know, make the my clothing items even more expensive. That's not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's why I started off online.
Mm-hmm.
But this opportunity came, and so far it's been working out very well. And, you know, I will just find ways to, you know, try to maintain, you know, the pricing and everything so that everybody can, you know, have a piece of Marimaya without spending too much.
That's right. Yeah. And what about your designs and production, you know? Have you ever thought, have you ever had to up your ante, you know, to deal with the demand of a physical store?
At the moment, not yet, but I'm definitely feeling the pressure of producing more because, you know, I have a few distribution points, you know, the physical store, and then I have it on Fashion Valet and my own online stores.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I need to have stocks, enough stocks for all these distribution points. And, you know, having a high stock holding is also very dangerous for
It is.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just finding the right balance of, you know, something that's just right for all the demand from every point of distribution.
Apart from your website and Fashion Valley, you are also available on ASOS, right?
Yes.
Which is on in Marketplace.
Yes.
How did that opportunity come about?
Basically, ASOS Marketplace is a place where designers can open their own boutiques,
right.
And then they will vet through your designs and your brand to see if you're a right fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied and I got approved, and hence, you know, my product is on ASOS Marketplace. It is very similar to, you know, you could say Fashion Valet, apart from the fact that Fashion Valet is more locally based.
Mm-hmm.
ASOS is catered towards
international.
A more British consumer, and also international, you know, like in Europe and maybe some United States customers as well.
And response has been good as well?
Yes, yes. And so far, actually, for me, places like ASOS and Etsy, you know, these marketplaces, in a way, it's like having a shop in a mall, you know, where you don't need to purposely spend money to drive traffic to your own store.
Mm-hmm.
You already have, they already have like a group of database of customers, and you can, you know, utilize that, and they just visit your shop because they help you with, these places help you with marketing and, you know, doing things to push your products to its consumers. So, yeah, it's been doing good, yeah.
A lot of people have been, you know, doing online business and all, and from online business, it has moved to sometimes pop-up store like yourself right now, as well as a standalone store. Now, I mean, in your opinion, what do you think? Do people still prefer to buy online, or do people prefer to buy in-store?
Actually, the whole reason why I moved towards a brick-and-mortar shop is because of my consumers' demands and, you know, their requests for me to open a shop.
Mm.
Because what I realized is that people buying online is still something quite new, especially in the Malaysian market. Maybe there is not enough trust between consumers and the brand. And, you know, at my kind of product price point, people would like to touch the fabric and feel it and also try on the dress for to test the fit, you know, to mm-hmm. see if it's the right fit. So I understand, I totally understand, because, you know, if it was me, I would also think twice before buying a new designer online, you know, especially if it costs, you know, a few hundred ringgit.
Mm.
So, you know, after once I got this opportunity, I really just grabbed it and said, okay, this is like, this is really, you know, fate, you know, because I had so much requests from customers to for me to have a proper shops where they can try on my clothing. And clearly it works because, you know, like since I've opened the shop, you know, it's been really getting a lot better. So, yeah.
Now, let's get into your label now. Mm-hmm. What's the story behind the name Mari Maya?
Actually, a lot of people ask me what is the meaning behind Mari Maya. To be really, really honest, there is not much meaning behind it.
How did you come up with the name?
So apart from the fact that Maya is actually kind of my name in a few other languages. So my name is Mei, right? And Maya is my name in Japanese, in Hindu, and like a couple of other languages.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked the name Maya, and I was thinking of a longer name that will roll off the tongue, when you say it, and something that you have not heard before. So Maya for me was a little bit generic. So I just, spent a night thinking about it in bed, and I was just thinking of like a few other names.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came up with Mari Maya, and I thought that, it really sounded nice. And, that's how I came up with Mari Maya.
Right. Yeah. So there's no meaning at all.
There is no meaning. It's just something that I want, my customers to be able to pronounce very mm-hmm. easily and mm-hmm. not get confused with.
It's quite catchy, though, yeah, Mari Maya.
Yeah. And it also sounds a little bit like Japanese. Mm-hmm. When you think of name, you think a bit like Japanese, which, I like Japanese elements in my designs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought it's a good fit for the brand. Yeah.
You've also said that, your label is for the modern discerning woman.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Okay, for me, when I create clothes, my whole philosophy is that I would only create clothes that I myself, I see myself wearing, And, coming from a professional working background, I can say that, I roughly know what women want in, the clothes that they buy, you mm-hmm. know. But that's not to say that I know what everybody wants, and my designs are not for everybody as well, And I don't think I need to make my designs to cater to like everyone in Malaysia or everyone in the world.
So you're designing something that you want to wear and things that you like.
Yes, and also what I think that people who are in the same mindset as me would like to wear. Right. Basically women who are working, who are independent, who are always on the go,
mm-hmm.
What they would like in a piece of clothing, So that's what I think of when I design my pieces.
You've also spent a lot of time traveling after your studies.
Yeah.
Did all the time abroad contribute to your design's inspirations then?
Actually, it really plays a big part in, subconsciously, it plays a big part.
It does, right?
Yeah, it does. It shapes you, because when I was in the UK, I was younger. And that's when, you absorb the most.
Mm-hmm.
And you absorb all this culture and all these different, it's like a melting pot of culture in the UK.
Is that when you're young and curious, right?
Exactly. And you absorb everything mm-hmm. so quickly. And that stays with you as you grow older, And, when I first went to the UK, I was alone. I knew nobody there. And that was a huge shock for me. And I hated it the first year. But after that, once you make friends and you get comfortable with the city, you are willing to explore and to accept other cultures mm-hmm. more than before,
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like my time abroad really helped me broaden my my view of, the world, in a sense. And mm-hmm. Like, for example, in London, in terms of style, in London, they're so fashion forward and so ahead of our time, and you see these people, like women who are, there are women who are professional working women, in their business suits, high heels, very, very, very suave, very nice. And then you see, on the other hand, like, I was interning at this sunglass company. They're very contemporary, very fashion forward. They're called Linda Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, the people working there are like the fashion set, like they're really the ones that go to like fashion week and all. And those people also really influenced me in a way that, they're so really just so cool and so ahead of their time.
They've got style, right?
They've really got style. And it's not anything that you've seen before. And maybe what I see now is what they were wearing like maybe 7 years ago,
I don't know about you, but when I am surrounded with people who dress really nice and they're so stylish and I feel good.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same too?
Yeah, you feel like, you know, you feel like you are sucked into the whole environment and you feel excited
I totally get what you mean.
You know, so, you know, the excitement really carries through till now and the influences still carry it. Carries through to till now. Yeah,
I mean, you have been traveling so much, you know, as you mentioned earlier. So what have you brought back and injected into your designs?
Actually, what I admire most was the style of Parisian women. I spent some time in Paris because I had friends there. And so I was, after I finished my studies, I basically traveled between London and Paris a lot because of the Eurostar as well. So it's very convenient. And Parisian women have this very cool and very devil-may-care attitude towards their appearance, you know. But, like, they look like as if they just rolled out of bed and they look super fabulous.
Every day, right?
Yeah, every day. Like, their hair can be super messy, but it's messy in a very, like, in a good, sexy way. And, you know, people would think that they didn't try at all and it was just, you know, they're naturally like that. But actually, it's not, you know. Like, they really spent a lot of money and a lot of time into looking good and feeling good, you know. And the thing about that is that, you know, like, even from head to toe, they're just groomed, you know. And it's not about putting on a lot of makeup or, you know, getting your hair done at the salon. It's more about, you know, taking care of, you know, yourself from within. You know, they spend a lot on skincare. They eat well. They don't eat rubbish. You know, they drink, you know,
healthy food, I would say.
Correct, juices and things like that. So, you know, I think, you know, that is a kind of, not style. It's more of a lifestyle and a mindset that I would like to emulate and that I would like to inject into
your designs.
My designs, yeah. Is to capture that essence of, you know, like, very subtle elegance that, you know, the woman looks like she doesn't care, but she just ended up looking so fabulous.
Stay tuned, as I'll be back in just a few minutes with May, and she'll be talking more about some of her favorite materials to use and also the inspirations behind her designs. This is Style File, and I'm Madeline Chung on BFM 89.9. This is Madeline Chung, and you're listening to Style File. This week, we are joined by May Tan of Mari Maya, and she shares with us about the stories behind her collections and how fabric is important in her designs. But first up, she talks to us about some of her favorite materials and where she sources them from.
It depends, you know, on where I'm traveling to. You know, I'm very ready to explore. And nowadays, when I travel, you know, all my friends know this, it's always travel plus work. You know, every country I go to, I always try to visit their fabric markets to see what they have to offer. You know, every country has their own special fabric, you know. So, like, for example, some of the fabrics that I've used previously, it includes a Balinese hand-woven fabric. I go to Bali a lot because I love Bali. And in Bali, there's this small village where they're actually famed for making hand-woven fabrics. And they use these wooden, traditional wooden looms to hand weave the fabric. And so I bought quite a lot of fabric from there. And some of them ended up in my first and second collection. And, you know, I like the idea that behind every meter and every thread count, there is a story to tell and there is, you know, a history behind it. It's artisanal and I like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So is there a story behind each and every of your designs?
I would say, you know, as a whole, the collection definitely tells a story, you know. But for me, inspiration comes when it comes, you know. There is no warning, you know. Sometimes I can be almost falling asleep, and then something just comes into my mind, mm-hmm. and immediately I have to take out my iPad, I have to sketch it out, because mm-hmm. it will come and then it will go, and then I will forget it. So I have my iPad with me at all times, mm-hmm. and it's something that I cannot live without. But you know, these inspirations really just pop up at you. But what is important is that you need to, as a designer, I need to keep my eyes open all the mm-hmm. time, because, you know, every little detail can, you know, spark an inspiration.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, that's how actually I come up with my designs. But, you know, in terms of story, you know, some pieces carry more meaning to me than others. But, yeah, you know, it's more organic and more random.
Now, I know that you use a special fabric, which is the Dutch wax cotton on your ruffled neck midi, and as well as your sleeveless print ruffle mini dresses, right? Which is also known as the African wax prints and Ankara. Do you want to tell us more about it?
Yeah, actually, this Dutch wax cotton that I use is called as such because it is produced by a very famous company in Holland mm-hmm. where they specialize in making these Dutch wax cotton, or you could call it Ankara fabrics as well, mm-hmm. which is because traditionally it is actually a an African traditional fabric. Mm. African people like colors, and they love
vibrant colors,
yeah,
right?
Vibrant prints, you know. And what I loved about these fabrics when I first saw it, I was just like, these prints are so beautiful. Mm. And, you know, the fabric being cotton is perfect for our weather here as well.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's hot and you want something that's, you know, breathable. Mm. And cotton is one of the most breathable fabric. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I decided to get some, and actually my second collection kind of revolves around this whole Ankara fabric. Actually, you know, when I first started out, it, you know, fabrics wasn't my main thing, you know, but somehow, like, once I started designing and producing, somehow it just became like a passion, and like I'm always out to find like new fabrics and different fabrics.
I think fabrics plays a very big part, you know, in all your designs.
Yeah, actually, if you have, I have to agree with that, you know, like if you have a very beautiful piece of fabric, you don't need very fussy design. You
That's
know?
Right.
You can just have something very simple and just let the fabric speak for itself.
Yeah.
So I'm very into experimenting with fabrics. And so, like, you know, my first collection was the Balinese fabric that was, you know, the most outstanding. And then the second was this Dutch wax cotton.
Does that mean you have to travel to Holland quite a lot?
No, I actually get them from Hong Kong, from an agent who carries the fabric. So I go to Hong Kong a lot. And, like, in Hong Kong, you know, they have a lot of fabrics from different places, you know. They have fabrics from China. They have fabrics from Holland, they have fabrics from like designer factories, like leftover fabrics from designer factories, and they have a lot of silks as well. So, you know, like my next collection, I'm experimenting with silk, you know, and silk is one, it's a very difficult fabric.
What kind of silk?
It's silk taffeta, mm-hmm. and you know, nowadays people want cheap, consumers want fast, consumers want convenient, you know, and silk is not any of the above, you know.
Why did you choose silk?
Because, okay, silk is, you know, very difficult to care for, and it's also very fragile. It's very delicate. Mm-hmm. But the outcome of, you know, silk, you know, when it's made into a very beautiful dress,
right,
is so luxurious to the touch. And, you know, when you wear it, you know, it's so subtle. You know, the sheen on the fabric is so subtle. It's just a very beautiful fabric. And I think, you know, we need to put more effort into taking care of our clothes, you know, because nowadays it's really just about buying and then wearing it once or twice and then throwing it away. And my Marimaya is not really about that. It's more about, you know, getting you to invest in pieces that you can wear, you know, over time, and it won't go out of style.
Timeless, lah.
Yeah. So, you know, like this silk fabric, you know, I took about 6 months just on sampling itself, because it was so difficult to handle and so difficult to sew. So, you know, it's really sometimes I just wonder, like, why did I do it in the first place, you know? But, you know, the outcome is so beautiful that right. I think it's worth it, you know? And I think, you know, my customers will also appreciate it. So it's more about, like, educating your customers in knowing how to appreciate these fabrics and to appreciate, like, a simple cut and not to have, like, too much fussy details, you
That's
know?
That's right. I like the fact that all your dresses has pockets.
Yeah, it's something that I myself value in, you know, my clothing. So when I was working, I was always wearing trousers. And, like, my colleagues used to ask me, like, why are you always wearing trousers, you know?
Because, like, there's pockets, right?
Yeah, because they're the only, you know, clothing piece that I can find pockets, you know, where, like, a lot of my dresses don't come with pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started designing my own collection, I was like, every piece must have pockets, you know, whenever possible. You know, like, some designs may not allow you to have a pocket, but whenever possible, I'll definitely put pockets in, because, you know, as women, working women, you know, we're always, like, on the run, you know, we have things to carry.
Functional, right?
Yeah, so it's more about function and style as well, you know. And another thing is also, I always have a lot of midi dresses. Like, a lot of my designs are all midi length.
Right.
That's because, you know, I myself, I like to feel comfortable, you know, I like to sit, like, as I want, you know, and I don't want to have to think about, you know, having to cross my legs and look ladylike, you know. And with midi dresses, you're able to, you know, sit more comfortably and while still looking, you know, ladylike and, you know.
Very demure kind of look and all.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you don't see a lot of, like, sexy pieces with Marimaya, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all about, like, the subtle details, you know. You know, I don't find, like, showing a lot of legs or showing a lot of...
I was about to say that. It doesn't mean you have to show a lot of skin to look sexy,
yeah,
right?
For me, you know, it's the small details that, you know, really just... It's the most alluring. Like, for me, the neck, the shoulder, and the back is, you know, just something that, you know, women, you know, as you age, it will still forever look very, you know, captivating and very nice.
And classy as well.
Yes, and classy. So a lot of my designs, you know, like the ruffled neck midi that you were saying, is designed to show off, you know, those parts of your body, to show off your neck, you know. And so when I design, you know, these are the elements that I think of, you know, when it's always about the woman, always about my customers.
Now, there's a difference between your designs, your collections, I would say, Marimaya Volume 1 and Marimaya Volume 2. Do you want to tell us more about it?
Yeah, actually, Marimaya Volume 1 is a lot more straight cut, you know. It's a lot more linear, I would say. You don't see much shape to the dresses. It's kind of, like, straight, you know, which is how I like my dresses, you know. It's actually, Marimaya Volume 1 was much more of a reflection of me than the second collection was. But, you know, for me, actually a lot of my customers also mentioned that, you know, they look really different, you know. But for me, as a designer, you know,
It looks the same for you?
No, it's definitely different, but for me it is that as a woman, you know, you're ever changing, right?
Yeah.
You're never, like, sporting the same style over and over again. You should always be changing and, you know, like, upgrading your wardrobe, and you would want different styles for different occasions. So for me, you know, I want to let my customers feel like they can get, you know, a simpler piece for the day, you know, for work. Or they can have something more show-stopping and something more drama and more with more flair for the night, you know.
That would be Volume 2, right?
Yes, that would be, like, you know, the print pieces. Or even some of Volume 1, you know. Like, I have one dress which is more metallic and it's, like, shiny. And, you know, it looks really nice on pictures. You know, you can wear it for, like, weddings or, like, evening functions. So it's just, you know, designing a collection that can cater to... different type of women, you know, for different occasions. Yeah.
Stay tuned, because after this, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, strides us through a shoe trend that imbues sophistication and sleekness: satin heels. But before that, here's The XX with I Dare You, played at Tory Burch's Spring Summer 2017 in New York. Have a listen and let me know what you think. Tweet me at AdelineCSK or BFM Radio. This is Style File, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File. Earlier on, we spoke to Mei Tan of Mari Maya. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, will talk to us about satin heels, a glamorous shoe trend that was huge in the 80s but has recently taken over the fashion world this season. Now, this week, we are talking about satin heels, another festive trend. Now, designers have taken the satin shoe into daylight territory, breaking the mold on its after-hours-only status. Now, satin heels have been one of the biggest shoe trends this year. Easy way to dress up and otherwise casual outfit. Now, Florence, tell us, what do you think?
So, I mean, satin shoes, it's, you know, much like velvet, it's one of those fabrics that boasts an after-hours allure. I mean, it's perfect for evenings, it's perfect for weddings, it's perfect for, you know, dinners. But these days, they're not just reserved for just weddings and dinners anymore. I mean, it's shedding its, you know, stuffy connotations, and designers are taking it into, you know, daylight territory. I mean, they're breaking the mold. They don't come in form of pumps or heels anymore. And, you know, there's also satin sneakers, satin flats, stacking
mules and
mules and all. So, they come in fun silhouettes, vibrant colours, and prints that also take away from the seriousness of that textile.
I've seen, well, the first few satin, I wouldn't say satin heels, but satin fabric kind of mules was the Rihanna and Puma collaboration, right? And that was a big hit. And now we have satin heels. So what kind of brands are we talking about?
So on the runways, I'd say Prada had this really embellished satin sandals with beads and gold hardware. Those were really standout and one of like the main key silhouettes for the season when it came to shoes for fall winter. And then Miu Miu, of course, also had this really glittering crystal buckles and heels. Some even came with feathers. And then, you know, Gucci had some pearl embellished kitten heel ones, you know, the Mary Janes that featured dragon embroidery, gold studs, and a diamante heel. So those were really nice.
I remember I used to own a few satin heels from Eclipse.
But
those were the days.
But
it was so difficult to clean it, you know, because it gets dirty pretty fast, especially when it's during rainy season in Malaysia. So how do you take care of satin heels?
For satin heels, I mean, it's a very delicate fabric. It, you know, if you get a stain on it, it shows.
Yeah.
So I'd say wear it, and then, you know, every time, you know, before you keep it and store it away, just give it a light wipe with, you know, a bit of a damp cloth with a bit of detergent. Not detergent, maybe. Like soap. Yeah. Damp cloth with soap, and give it a light wash so that, you know, any stains or any like black marks on it might not stay.
So why do you think satin heels are back?
Why do I think satin heels? I think it's also all about, you know, the whole 80s drama, which is really huge for fall winter at the moment. So it came from there, and I guess designers are just looking back towards the past and bringing it, you know, into the current moment.
Even Rihanna and Gigi Hadid have been big supporters of this trend all year. So why do you think
so? I guess it's all about that standing out and, you know, the whole peacocky trend at the moment. It's all about outdoing each other with all these luxe materials.
It's all about outdoing each other.
It's all about doing It's all about being over the top, maximalism, you know. Minimalism is kind of like taking a backseat at this point, especially for, you know, the festive season and for this particular fall winter season as well.
So do you think it's difficult to pair your outfit with satin heels?
Not really, because, I mean, back then, satin heels, people would just immediately think, oh, it's for, you know, a dinner party or, you know, a wedding, so you just pair it with a dress. But, I mean, these days, you can just, it's so easy to just dress up a casual outfit. You know, you can wear it with crop cigarette pants, you know, to show it off, you know, wear it with a mini hemline for maximum visibility. Or, you know, you can wear it, try a sleek slingback satin version with high-waisted tailored pants, white blouse, and huge statement earrings. It's very easy.
So would you invest in satin heels?
If I were to invest in satin heels for this season, I'd go for like the jewel toned ones and less of the casual ones. So ones with like really crystal buckles on them, that would be nice for the festive season.
So that was Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, with satin heels, which brings us to the end of this week's show.
If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. You can catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you are busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. Now, I'm going to leave you with a track by K.D. Lang with Love for Sale, played at Tory Burch's Spring-Summer 2017 in New York. If you'd like me to play your favorite runway song, tweet me, Adeline CSK or BFM Radio. This has been Starfall, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment.
Does that include dinner at that new French place?
Yep, 4% cash back there.
How about bowling with my friends?
Yeah, 4% cash back on that too.
Nice.
And that'll be a rewarding weekend. Because with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% on dining and entertainment. So when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.